Hallelujah. It's an unusual night. I'm going to ask God to do something I've never asked Him to do. You know, the Bible says to come into the Holy of Holies. Come boldly, it says. Into the Holy of Holies. That's the very center of the temple, the very holiest place, the place that nobody could go except the high priest, and that only once a year. And Jesus went in there in the heavenlies. He tore the veil, which Hebrews says was His flesh, to enable us to go into a place that we otherwise would not know how to go into. That should become our norm. That should become the place we hang out in the Spirit. We could call it Daddy's house, Daddy's room. If you were a little kid and your dad had an office where he spent his time, it'd be the same as you going in there as a little child, you know, to see your father. We were never allowed before Jesus, but Jesus tore the veil permanently. That veil was 6 stories high. It was about 30 feet wide and 10 inches thick. And they say it was so strong that 2 teams of horses could not separate it. But yet God tore it from top to bottom. That means from heaven to earth. So it could never be put together again. Never. That means at any time of the day or night, no matter what's going on in your life, you can go into the Holy of Holies and say, Father, I've got a problem. Father, I just want to say thanks. Father, I need some help. Father, I need some wisdom. What king or president do you know? Have you ever heard of a king or a president on this earth that you could call him at 2:30 in the morning and say, you know, I'd really like to talk about this problem. No, there's nobody like him. And yet he has shed his blood to make a way for us to come in freely anytime we want. And so I'm asking him tonight to take us to that place as a group. I've never asked him to do that, but when we were in worship, I sensed God wants to take us to a place. You know, I could teach you some things, but I feel like before we do that, he wants to show us some things. Amen? Some people in here, I hope that I get to come back. I pray I get to come back. But if not, there's some things that God wants to heal. There's some things that God wants to touch. So we're just going to take a few minutes, and we're going to deal with some of that before we go into sharing or teaching or preaching. As I was praying tonight for the meeting, I saw someone with a neck problem. I believe there's more than one person with a neck problem. But And I want to say this before I do this. If you've never been in a meeting where a healing word of knowledge is released, you may not know this, but when a word of healing is released, often multiple people receive that healing, and that is okay. So don't say, I don't know if it's for me. If you need it, take it. Okay, what I mean is, I'll give you an example. We were in Waukegan one time, and I gave a real specific word of knowledge. I said someone's left foot has pain. It's at the front part of the arch of your left foot. And I said it hurts every time you step on it. God is healing your foot. Now, several people were healed, but not the person it was for. And I don't always know who it's for, but that night I did. But she didn't receive it. She has issues of always feeling like she's doing something wrong. She's never doing hardly anything wrong. She's one of the best saints I know. But she has kind of one of those things of feeling not worthy. So she didn't know if the word was for her, and she didn't receive it. 2 nights later, so that was a Saturday night. Monday night, she calls a mutual friend, and she says, oh, this word was so specific, it sounds like me, but I just don't think it was for me. My other friend said, I'm sure that word was for you, just receive it. On the phone, she says, okay, I receive it, and instantly gets her healing. 2 days later, we're not even in the meeting. Yet other people who the word may not have been for received it, because why? God released it in the room. Okay? So I'm sure there are multiple people in here with neck problems. You can receive your healing. But I saw specifically one person, as I prayed for this, that you can turn your head to the left about this far, and you can turn it no further. God is healing your neck. If that's you, just start moving your neck around. You'll be able to move it in ways. Just take your time. Move your neck where it couldn't go before. You'll begin to see a new guy, because God heals. And it's easy for God. It's easy. We need to learn how to receive. He's lubricating some joints today. Some of you are going to see some difference in your joints. I saw also a lower back on the right side. This actually looked like a bone chip. This isn't just a back that's out of alignment, although you can receive it, but I actually saw a piece of like chipped bone that was separated from the spine, and when you move a certain way, it feels like an electric wire, and it's very painful. And once it spasms, that's the right word, sometimes it'll hurt for some hours. Then when you'll finally get relief, and you just kind of are very fragile because you don't want to move again, okay, if that's you, say, you can just say it quietly, Lord, I believe that, and I receive it. We've seen people receive many things in one night. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be weirded out. Jesus did this all the time. He still does it all the time today. Amen. Paul was at a place. He looked and he said, it says that he saw a man that was crippled, and he said he knew, he saw that the man had faith to be healed. He saw the man had faith to be healed. He spoke to the man, and the man was healed immediately. I'm going to guess he was operating in discerning of spirits. How do you see that someone has faith to be healed? What does that look like? There's someone here with an ankle problem. God wants to heal your ankle. It's rigid. It's rigid. And sometimes it'll like crack, snap, crackle, pop. But it's painful when it happens. God is loosing your foot. Just start to work your foot right now. Do something you couldn't do. That's right there. You talk about a mustard seed of faith. That's a mustard seed of faith. Just start moving a little. Don't worry what anybody thinks. Just move your foot. Move your ankle. There's someone that actually has some pain in their body right now. You came with a little bit of pain. And you're used to fighting through the pain, the Lord said. You're a tough cookie. And, you know, that's a good thing to be, right? You just keep going, right? That's what you do. You fight through. You're used to fighting through the pain. You've had this, I'm going to say, I feel like about 38 years. This is a long-term thing you've struggled with. You've grown so used to it that you've accepted it as normal kind, or you think it's normal. But the Lord said, that's not normal for my kids. I want to remove that. It's actually, he's saying, I want to remove a spirit of pain out of your life. You have known too much pain in your life, and it has caused you problems. It has even caused you relational problems, he said. Because, you know, too much pain, right? Too much pain can impact us. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that condition. We command it to go. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's me speaking to that mountain, and that's you. So we command that to go in the name of Jesus. I just saw something come off the back of the neck that has caused intermittent headaches, especially seems like in the evening. When you're about to go to bed, it seems like there's headaches that come, and it actually prevents sleep. It's hard for you to find the right position. You toss and turn. It's frustrating because you need to, I can hear you. You're like, Lord, I really need to go to sleep. I got stuff I got to do tomorrow. I need a good night's sleep, and it's a frustrating thing. And the Lord says, your sleep is going to be sweet. Your sleep is going to be sweet. And I'm hearing that scripture, the Lord gives his beloved rest. Just debating how far to go here. Hallelujah. You know, one of the first things Jesus ever said when he came, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And you know, as Christians, we often carry stuff, you know, because we're supposed to be faith people and strong people. And so we carry stuff sometimes for years and years. And I know because I did it. And I was raised up in a family where you didn't show your stuff, you know. How are you doing? Great. I'm strong, you know. I'll just tell you my story. When I was 5 years old, I was a very sensitive kid. And my sister said something about me, you know, kids say something. She called me a brat or something. And my feelings were hurt and I was crying. And my dad was not a guy who could handle. He was a great man. But he had four girls and a boy and, you know, that was a little much on the girl's side. And he yelled at me and he said, why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? Well, my little ears heard, oh, this is not okay. We're not supposed to cry. Now, I didn't know I did this until I was in my 30s, but I made a decision on the inside, I'll never let him see me cry. Dad doesn't like that. Okay, Dad likes business, horses and farms. Okay, I'll be tough. And I became a tomboy. And I loved my dad. I just loved my dad. And so to fellowship with him, I would always talk to him about business, horses, or farms. So we had this great relationship. When other little girls grew up and they were reading Harlequin romances, I was reading Louis L'Amour Westerns because I thought that stuff was foofery. It was beneath me because we don't do that. So for years, especially as I got older and got into real trouble and there was real stuff happening in my life that was very, very painful, the only way I knew to deal with it was to just stuff it. You know, it doesn't exist. How are you doing? Great. How's things? Fine. I went to work every day and came home. No one ever knew the stuff that was going on in my life because that's what I thought you did. I'm a Christian. I can handle it. God is good. And one day, I became very ill. Ridiculously ill for no reason. I had my hand on the phone to call 911 and the Lord said, don't call them. I said, okay. See, what God knew that I didn't know is it wasn't physical. What it was years of stored emotions beginning to manifest. Emotions not dealt with properly. Emotions are a gift from God. They're not a bad thing. But if you don't know how to process them, they will make you sick. And what began to happen was those things were stored up like a toxin, and my body was reacting. I had a friend at work. Now, God is so smart. I worked at a large, large corporation, very secular, very few believers, but God arranged for a man to sit in the office next to mine, the cubicle next to mine, who was Holy Ghost filled and very accurate in the word of knowledge. I was going through a very difficult season, too difficult to even talk about. And about twice a day, this guy would come around the corner and say, the Lord says this to you. You know, kind of like a boxer goes back in the corner and they're, come on, you can do this. And this guy was so accurate. Well, I went in the next Monday after this physical thing that wasn't physical. And this brother said, he shut his eyes for a minute and he listened to God. He said, I think you're supposed to call Grace. Well, now let me just tell you this. Grace was a charismatic Catholic lady who had been married to an alcoholic for 17 years, and she operated in emotional healing by the Spirit. Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't used to that sort of realm of things, and I'm picturing statues of Mary. Just be honest. I was like, really? Grace? Really? Now, I knew him well enough to know he didn't miss it. I don't think I ever saw him miss it, so I thought, all right. We'll call Grace. So he and I go in a conference room. We call Grace, and she says these words to me, honey, you're not sick. She said, what you have is unresolved conflict, and it's making you sick. Now, my pride went, no. But something on the inside went, yes. So she said, I want you to come over to my house. I'm thinking, oh, goody. Oh, good. Oh, thrilling. Going to Grace's. No idea what to expect. Get over to Grace's house, and she's praying with me. She said what I honest to goodness thought was the dumbest prayer I ever heard in my life. And the prayer went like this. Father, take Holly back through her life and be there at those times when she needs you. Now me, with an analytical mind, I'm thinking, be there? It was 40 years ago. What are you talking about? No clue. You know, God has no time, right? God is not stuck in time. Instantly, I have a series of flashbacks. And that fast, I knew exactly what the problem was, why I had problems, why I was sick, and what to do. I mean, within literally a couple seconds from that prayer. I said that to say, I believe God wants to unlock some of you tonight. I've taught on the gifts of the Spirit a lot, and I've taught on the prophetic a lot, and with hindsight, I see that sometimes I've taught the prophetic to people who didn't have relationship with the Father. Relationship with the Father is like the container of all the works of the Spirit. And if your relationship isn't full and complete, then the prophetic takes on a distorted thing, right? And so I found that my error was I was teaching people who were either not whole, not healed, had their own kind of pride thing going because they weren't healed. So they were prophesying to be seen of men. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what I saw. And so I began to realize I was missing something. And just in this past year, God has been showing me, He's been letting me work with people who are Christians there now, I'm going to say this, who love the Lord with all their heart, sold out to Jesus completely, would die for Jesus, are born again and are spirit filled, and yet are crippled in relationship to God because of pain in their life. And what He's been showing me is that sometimes that pain causes us to shut down. And it goes something like this. Well, I'll just give you, this is a quote from one of the ladies that got healed. She said this, I started to explain how it works. I could tell she was loves the Lord with all her heart. I could tell she was very bright. She knew a lot about God. She starts to intellectualize on the phone, all this stuff. And I'm like, stop, you're way past me. I said, I don't care about any of that. I'm like 3-year-old kid when I'm with God. I don't know anything, don't want to know anything. I said, usually what happens is we get hurt by either our dad, our parents, a husband, a wife. Someone has rejected us, and we throw up a wall and say, who needs it? Because we don't want to be hurt anymore. Now, this is not everybody, okay? So be patient if this isn't you. And she said, well, I will tell you that every man I ever tried to have a relationship with rejected me. So I said, let's just pray for a minute. Because she kept telling me why she couldn't get free. But I knew, I knew enough to know she could. We prayed, and she started to cry, and she said, I know what happened. I said, tell me what happened. She said, I had so many bad relationships, I drew the conclusion that I would just, she's in the, I'll say the medical field, okay, so she sees herself as in the healing business. She took on the mode of, I'll just be the healer. If I never get anything back, that's okay, from people. She said then, as we prayed, she realized, I took on a role, and I put God in a role. And she said, you can't have a relationship with a role. So I led her through a simple prayer of letting go of it. She is now walking in some relationship. Because see, if we don't feel safe, there's an issue of trust in God. As much as we love God, do you know that some people have a hard time trusting Him because they've been hurt so bad? True. Do you know that if you're hurt too bad by people or too many times, this is actually a gift from God. We have a survival gift where we put a callus over our heart and it protects us from being hurt again. Thank you. But the problem is that callus, if you're one of those people that says, I used to hear from God, I don't know why I don't hear anymore, this may not be the reason, but sometimes it is. You've been hurt too bad and you say, I don't want to be hurt anymore. And you begin to shut down. You don't mean to include God in it, but what happens is that thing forms like a shield. And what does God say? That He can circumcise our hearts anew. And so I said all that because I believe God wants to release us to have a relationship where we're not afraid to walk right into the Holy of Holies any time of day or night, no matter what's going on. Father, I need some help. Father, I'm a mess. Father, I screwed up. Father, You said in Your word, if I confess my sins, You're faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from unrighteousness. But you know what people do? They run from God. I'm going to quote Lori. She was telling me when she first came to the meetings, she really didn't know there was more. She didn't know there was such a thing as relationship. Now, she was born again. But she didn't know that you could have relationship before heaven. So that was something you hope to get in heaven. And until then, you just go to church. You try to be a good person and do the best you can. She didn't know that God could be your closest friend. That was like news. And so when we started talking about relationship, and I always say, people tell me they hear my voice in their head saying, ask questions and be specific. Ask questions of God and be specific. So she would drive home from the meetings asking God the questions of her heart. Is that true, what Holly said? What does that mean? You mean you can really talk to me? You mean we could have a relationship? She was asking the questions of her heart. Relationship. See, this lady I just told you about, this woman on the phone, she, what we hear with through the filters of our pain and our past. And when I was talking to her about relationship, you know what she was hearing? She was hearing, Holly wants me to hear from God, and I don't hear from God. She wants me to hear from God so I can have relationship. I said, no, sweetie. What I'm saying to you is I want you to have relationship, and as you grow in it, sooner or later you'll hear from God. And it may not be right away. And I said, when I first got in relationship with God, I didn't hear anything. Nothing. Zip. I was the least prophetic person you ever met. But I met him in my living room. And I didn't know any better because I was unchurched. So I thought, well, if I ask him a question, he'll find a way to show me. He would show me, at first, only through the Word. Every answer came through the Word, but every answer came within 24 hours. No matter what I asked, if I sincerely asked, he would answer. We had a relationship, and I was amazed. This God will actually talk to me. Who am I? Why would he want to talk to me? Why does he even care? I'm not anybody. I've never done anything right. Why would he show up at my house? But I mean, my questions could be so specific. I had Mormon guys come to the door, young Mormon men with the clean white shirts and their ties. You know, and I was all fired up for Jesus. And they said, the way they started their spiel was, do you believe a man can have a vision? I said, I had a vision. They're like, you blink, blink, blink. I said, yeah, you want to hear it? And I started telling them my vision. I'm like so zipped up for Jesus. I'm like all fired up there. They're like, we'll have to have our elder call you. So I go back in the house and I'm like, Lord, see, I was raised in a home. My mom had come out of the split off of the Mormon church. So I didn't know. Because the way she acted, they were just another denomination. So I didn't know. So what do I do? God, what do you say about this? Through the Word of God, he starts showing me stuff. The elder calls right after he's shown me something in Timothy, and I said, well, what about this scripture? The elder says, I'll have to call you back. Relationship isn't necessarily prophetically hearing, although that will come. But don't worry if you don't hear from God. I'm more concerned that you have a relationship. If things go, let's say the last days, you know, a lot of people believe the last days are upon us. Could get sticky, right? If you have a relationship, you don't have to fear. I know God well enough. I know things could happen. I know we could die for our faith. That's not a problem for me because I know where I'm going. But in the meantime, I'm believing that if there's something big, God's going to tell me, get out of here, turn left, go there. He's going to handle it because of relationship. You know, in China, if you've ever read a book called The Heavenly Man, they would find their way through the woods at night, you know, by an angel that would lead them. Because you couldn't announce where the meetings are. So they'd find their way there by the Spirit. They'd find their way home by the Spirit. They don't have a Bible, but they have relationship. And there's a man, I don't know if I shared this here, but there was a man that years ago saw a vision of American Christians, and they had these great big heads and these little bitty bodies. And God said, my people are so intellectual. They have so much knowledge about me. They've read the latest books, but they don't know me in their heart. One other lady I want to share about, I was out in Colorado and I gave her a word by the Spirit. And I thought it was an odd word when I gave it. I said, you need to ask God the questions of your heart, not your intellect. And I could tell she didn't receive the word. She was kind of like, you're weird. But I knew that word was from God, and she wrote me an email, and she said, by the time I hit the front door, I knew exactly what you meant. She said, years ago, I had some issues with people, and I made a decision to step back like, they don't need to know me. Like, I'm strong. Who needs it? What did she just do? She put up a wall. What really happened? She shut down her heart. Her relationship with God was completely intellectual, and I'm praying with her on the phone. And this is what Jesus is saying to her. He's saying, I'm standing in the garden. I'm beckoning you in. And he desired for her to come in, and like John, remember John put his head right on Jesus' chest. Think about it for a minute. That means he could hear his heartbeat. They were close, best friends. I said this to her. I said, Jesus desires this from you. And I see you standing outside the gate, and you've got your clipboard, you know, figuring it out. But she didn't know how to come in. And he was like, open arms, come on in. Come in. You know what he's saying? Sometimes I miss you. I miss you. I want you more than I want your works. I want you more than I want your works. Those works, they'll come. But true works come out of fellowship. The real action happens out of communion. You know what Martha's problem was? Martha and Mary, I used to think Martha was... I didn't like her very much. You know, because I was more of a Mary. But in the past couple years, God started showing me Martha's heart. Martha had an awesome heart. Jesus shows up with 12 guys, right? He didn't just show up. He showed up with the whole gang. She's got all this primitive stuff, and she's supposed to come up with a meal to serve these men. Now, they've been on the road probably for months. They haven't had a home-cooked meal. You can't go to Burger King. So her heart was, I'm going to make them the best meal ever. You know, a little help here would be nice. She's trying to serve him. She loves him. She's got a good heart. But think what Jesus said to her, Martha, you're encumbered by much serving. Really, he said, one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better thing. Martha's problem wasn't that she didn't have a good heart. Her problem was she didn't ask what he really wanted. Her problem was she assumed he wanted something. My husband used to love to buy me presents. He would go to great lengths to get the best present. Sometimes he'd get one and be like, that's wonderful. Totally not what I, how much did you spend on this? His heart was wonderful. But sometimes what we do for Jesus isn't maybe what he wanted. That was Martha's only problem. Her heart was pure and perfect. And what I hear Jesus saying to his people and what he was saying to this lady is, what I really want is you. I don't need another smart person, thanks. I can make one. And by the way, smart people aren't all that smart next to Jesus. Oh, goody, they got that revelation. Oh, my goodness. God rolls his eyes. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, really, we're not that smart. I was with a friend, and a different friend. She had the same issue. Very, very hurt. Loved Jesus. Just loved Jesus. Every time we'd have a conversation, when we were together for a few days, and I noticed every conversation was... A subject would come up and she'd say, so-and-so wrote about that in his book and he said this. And I'd say, I was talking to God and he said this. And she'd say, well, so-and-so said this. Well, at first I didn't notice, but after about 3 days I noticed she was always referring to something she'd read in a book. And I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but I said, what do you think God thinks? And I realized she was struggling with her heart because she's been terribly, terribly wounded. Now, this doesn't mean she didn't love Jesus. She loved Jesus. She would die for Jesus. I mean, her heart's incredible. But due to pain, she had shut down some things. Okay? Okay, so the lady outside the fence. Remember the lady outside the garden gate? I prayed with her. She began to ask God some questions. She sent me an email and said this. She said, when you said that about being outside the garden gate... She said, I was thinking, well, tell me how. Give me a list of 5 things that I can do, and I'll do it. What's that? That's your intellect trying to figure it out. It's a form of religion. Ever learning. What does it say? Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, ever learning, ever learning. And God is saying, what I did for you, you and me, us. And I know there's a lot of people in here who have strong relationships, so I'm not talking to you. But my heart goes out because God wants to unlock some hearts tonight. I'm seeing actual locks being turned. And here's how simple it is. You know, this one lady was absolutely sure that she could never do it. She said she was actually almost in tears because our conversation brought her to the point of frustration. Like, I know I don't have one. I want one. I don't know how. I was like, just let me pray. Because in about 1 minute, you can be set free. What we did was I had her just repeat a simple prayer after me, and I'll tell you why. It is our own words that lock us. We're locked up by our own decisions. When I was 5, now I didn't speak it, but I made what is called an inner vow or a decision. I'll never let him see me cry. I'll be strong. I'll be tough. Now, I never spoke that. I never knew of it as an inner vow. But to unlock my heart... God taught me to say, Lord, I see now that I made that decision. Just as simple. This is a simple transaction But if you can receive this without me teaching why, it is a legal transaction in the realm of the Spirit. Do you know that most of what we need to receive is about 30 seconds away? And it has to do with making a decision and speaking it out. In the Bible, they call it repent, but it may not be of sin. It may be of a choice. I'll never let them see me cry. I don't need people. I'm going to live on an island. I've always been rejected. I'll be the healer and I won't expect anything in return. Those are choices and decisions, whether spoken or not, that shut the Lord out. God, He stands at the door and knocks all the time. So I'm just going to have I know this may only apply to a fourth of the people here. But because we walk in grace, I'm going to ask that everybody just humor me, okay? Even if this totally isn't you, you may be closer to God than I am. You may be more prophetic than I am, but just for the sake of our neighbors, maybe there's someone here that needs to say, we don't want them embarrassed, okay? So I'm just going to have everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If I ever made a decision. Even if I was unconscious of it.
Even if I was unconscious of it.
To protect my heart.
Or
pull away.
Or
have a shield of protection up. I don't ever want to have that with you. I'm asking you to remove it. Circumcise my heart afresh and anew. I want to come to you like John did. I want to be so close to you. Without fear. That I can lay my head on your chest.
That
I can hear your heartbeat.
No
matter what man has done to me.
I know that you will never hurt me.
I trust you. With my life,
with my heart,
and my future.
I give you my heart.
Bring me into the Holy of Holies.
Let that be my normal place.
Help me to learn relationship.
Of the heart.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
I believe some people just got unlocked. You will notice I'm getting all these emails from these three women. I mean, it makes me cry when I read them because they're discovering Jesus for the first time. And you might say, well, that's just, you know, mush. It reminded me of the seven dwarfs and Grumpy's like, mush. But you know, God is kind of mushy. And He called us His bride for a reason. He is very much about having an intimate relationship. He's got a lot of people that know a lot. I'm not one of them, hallelujah. But He's got a lot of people that have knowledge. That's not really what He's after. He's after a people that will fellowship with Him in the heavenly place. You know, there's some people that just hang out with God. There was a man who died a year or two ago. He was considered to be a great prophet, and they say wherever he went, moves of God were started. It wasn't just good words. He actually started whole moves. This man went to Mike Bickle years ago, when Mike was about, Mike Bickle, IHOP, right? And Mike was in his 20s. And this man walked into his office. He said, the Lord sent me with a word for you. And he said, you're going to raise up generations of young people in praise and worship. He said, Mike just blinked at him. Actually, I heard Mike tell this story. He said, you're also going to come into great revelation on Jerusalem in the last days. Mike blinked at him. And he said, did you know either of these things? And Mike said, nope. And he said, well, God said you'd be dull, but I didn't think you'd be that dull. And I can only share that because Mike shared it first. Otherwise, I wouldn't do that to him. But the point is, this man, he lived in heavenly places a lot. You know, he hung out with God. His life was not easy. Because people don't understand that sort of thing, you know. A lot of people don't understand it and don't receive it, right? They think it's a little strange. But this man, in his way, he changed the world. In his way, he set ministries in motion. Because what was he doing? Just like a child, he'd sit with God. He'd just sit with Him. And he'd talk to Him and listen to Him. You know the old song, He walks with me and He talks to me. He tells me I'm His own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known. See, that's a real place. There is a garden. There's a real garden. God is beckoning us to come into a place and to have the guts. It may be different for some of you, especially some of you toughies. There's some toughies in here. And I get it. I do. But Jesus was, you know, the greatest man that ever lived. But he lived in the presence of his Father. He lived in the presence. He lived in the presence of his Father. And he wasn't, you know, that wasn't too feminine for him. A gutsier man never lived. He'd walk right into the temple and confront the leaders, the Sanhedrin, right to their face. Never bat an eye. There's nothing wimpy about Jesus. And yet he was real into intimacy. And I actually believe that true relationship is the only place where we get real revelation. You know, I read the Bible and sometimes I read it and go, huh? You know? But when I go sit with the Father, I can't describe it, but suddenly I just know. Oh, I get it. See, what's happening? The Spirit of God is giving me light. The Spirit of God is casting light on the Scriptures. See? And what would happen if he didn't do that? We would know them in an intellectual way, but that's not where the power is. He said, my words are spirit, and they are life. When a word is spoken by the Spirit, it imparts life. When a word is spoken by the Spirit, it imparts healing. It has creative power. So you could say a sentence, but it not have power because you heard somebody else say it because you didn't speak it by the Spirit. But if the Holy Ghost gives you a word to say and you say it, now what's happened? You've become the mouthpiece of God, and those words are spirit and life. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. When I was young, my only interest was relationship. I don't know if I even knew the word prophetic. You know, I didn't have fellowship. I didn't know prophetic people. This was back in the 70s and 80s. I didn't know any of that stuff. My interest was God alone. I needed to know how to do life with God. I was pretty much alone. And so my interest in hearing him was just for me. How do I live? Where do I go? What do I teach me? And so my relationship with him was only that. There wasn't, you know, I didn't know how to do community. I'm so impressed with you guys. You do the family community. I didn't know any of that. But he was my father. Well, over time, some things began to happen to me. One time I was at a conference. It was a women's conference, and I was pretty sick. I had the flu. I was under some kind of attack. And there were some women there, and they were intercessors. And this was before I'd been around some intercessors. And these people were loud. Hallelujah. It was a little weird. Now that's pretty normal for me. But back then I was like, you know. And there was a lady there, and she was a very loud intercessor. And she said, is there something wrong with your back? And I'm, you know, I didn't show this, but internally I'm kind of rolling my eyes thinking, you know, ooh, because I thought she was too loud. But here's what she said. Did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? Well, now she had my attention. When I was 15 years old, the saddle on my horse popped. Me and the saddle went one way and the horse went the other way. I landed square on my tailbone and I had a simple fracture in my back, lower back. Now, my parents knew that and they took me for the x-ray. And there's not a whole lot you can do except, you know, for a simple fracture, there's not a lot you do with that. My back healed wrong. It was very, very painful at the time. But when it healed, it didn't hurt anymore. But my back, it went straight down and about 8 inches above my tailbone, it went like this. And my tailbone was 2 inches off to the right. Your tailbone is a big old knobby thing. Can't miss it. When she said that to me, did you fall off a horse? Now you have my attention. Because nobody knew that. My parents knew it happened, but nobody knew that my tailbone was off center. So here's God telling a secret to a total stranger. And she said, may I pray for you? I'm like, yes. You know, you can do anything you want. Because I knew that was God. And I was amazed that God cared enough about me to send a stranger. I was just learning, but that's called a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a secret that there's no way you could know about someone's life. And it's always given to help them. It is never given to judge them. You don't play God. You don't get to be mean. You know, very rarely you get to do a corrective word, but even then you have to do it with grace, a lot of grace, or you're in danger. You know, it's dangerous. Well, She didn't even really pray. She said, "May I pray?" "Yes, you may." She touched my shoulder and said, "Jesus." Now, I didn't feel anything. There was no ting, no heat, no buzz, no nothing. But when I went upstairs, my tailbone from that day to this is smack dead center. It was an instant healing by word of knowledge. And I was pretty fascinated by that. And it was even more exciting to me than that God would do such a thing than that my back got healed. The back being healed was cool, but really, God telling a stranger this thing? Not long after that, I was reading the Bible and I came across the gifts of the Spirit and I saw a word of knowledge and I realized that's what that was. That was a word of knowledge. Now, back then, I did not know that God desires all His children to move freely in the gifts, okay? So, in ignorance, I said, "Oh Lord, if it would be okay with you," I didn't know it is okay, "if it would be okay with you, I'd like to help people the way that lady helped me." I was at a lady's house not long after. She was an old-style Pentecostal Christian. She was Holy Ghost-filled long before I was. They were used to laying hands on each other at their church. I was not. I was sitting at her table. She started to pray in the Spirit. Suddenly, now, I should back up. She had been diagnosed with leukemia. First, they said it was leukemia, then lupus, but there wasn't a whole lot they could do for her. Her body was in a bad way. I'm sitting across her kitchen table from her. I see a picture of two hands, like in this shape, on someone's upper back. I was so ignorant, I didn't know that was a word of knowledge. What God was saying was, put your hands on her back in that spot. And all the angels went, duh, because I didn't do, I didn't do anything. I'm like sitting there, blink, blink, SpongeBob, blink, 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 like Patrick, boop. So he shows it to me again. Blink, blink, blink. Third time, I'm like, oh. I said, and I'd never laid hands on anybody. And I thought she'd think it was weird. Well, they did that stuff all the time. I said, "Penny, would it be okay if I lay hands on her?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely." So I walk around the table. I put my hands in that spot. I see a second picture. Something similar, I do it. I see a third picture, I do it. And I saw something looked kind of like an owl go. That thing was a spirit. Some sicknesses, if you read in the Bible, not all, but some sicknesses are demonic. There are times when Jesus cast out a devil and a sickness was healed. But he never even spoke healing. He just cast the thing out. Other times, he spoke healing. So he knew by either word of knowledge or discernment which is which. He was operating, we quoted the scripture earlier in these sessions. He said, "The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing." So he had this relationship with Father. What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do? How about now? How about now? How about now? He lived that way. He walked in it. He was a man that lived in the Spirit and in the flesh simultaneously. That comes through much training. Okay, there's a scripture that says, by reason of use, we have our senses trained to discern good from evil. Well, it's by reason of use. Okay, so that was the beginning of a long thing for me, of because I said, if it's okay with you, let me help people the way that lady helped me. So what started to happen was I would go to church, and this is free. This gift is free to the believer, okay? That's what I misunderstood. I thought he just wanted to give certain people. What I didn't understand is he wants everyone to have the Holy Spirit, just like he wants everyone to have salvation. Now, your personality and type, you may be prone to certain gifts more than others. Bob has certain gifts. I've seen it. I know his hand, he has a similar, my husband had a gift where his hand would get blazing red, hot. And when his hand got hot, get out of the way, somebody's getting healed. And there was no, I think, I hope, when I got healed, before I knew the man, I had degenerative arthritis for 3.5 years. I lived in pain all day, every day. I'd been prayed for by famous people came to our church all the time. I'd been prayed for. My faith level had gone, because it was before I understood faith. My faith wasn't very high. And my husband, who wasn't my husband, I barely knew the guy, stood in the front. He said, "My hand is getting hot and red." He said, "If you need a healing in your body, come forward and the Lord will heal you." Mm-hmm. The Lord will heal you? I'm sitting way in the back thinking, I've heard people say, "I'll pray with you, I'll believe with you, I'll agree with you, I'll stand with you, I'll blow hot air on you, I'll..." I'd never heard anybody say, the Lord will heal you. And a friend of mine said, get up there, he's of God, get up there, because I wasn't going to go because my faith was low. I went up there, I'm going to be honest, this was before I learned about faith, my faith was low. I went up and he was in the spirit and he had that funny look people get. And he looked at me and said, funny thing, but you know God will heal you. He took the end of his index finger and the end of his thumb, went around my spine and went like this. I went over like a train hit me, and I'd never fallen down. Everybody else at church would fall down, you know, and I'd think, what's wrong with me? You know, it reminded me of that scripture, 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it won't come nigh you. And I'd always be like, I want to fall down, you know, but I wasn't going to do it unless it was God, you know. Well, anyway, when that brother prayed for me, it was like getting hit with a Mack truck. I remember flying into the catcher, okay, you know, poor man. I got up healed. This was in 1993. I've never had any problems since. Now, that's a different gift, but because his personality type and calling were more along the evangelistic lines, he tends more. Now, he did have word of knowledge. Not like I did, though. Whereas my gifts and callings tend more towards another kind of gift. But all the gifts are for all the saints. And one time God said something to me, I feel like I should say. He said, my people feel like they have to earn the gifts. And they go, oh, I don't know if he wants me to have it. God said, I died that my people would have it. I shed my blood that my people would operate in the gifts. He said, when someone operates in the true gift of the Spirit, it doesn't draw attention to the person. It gives glory to me. And it makes people say, I want what you have. I want him. That I want. That's real. All this other stuff we've been trying to do, persuade people, debate people, prove it to people. None of that has had the power of be healed, rise and walk. That has power. And we need to get to a place where we understand that we're not using gifts because we deserve it, because we don't, never have, never will, you don't, I don't, there is no one who does. But he died to pay, to purchase, not just the Holy Spirit, but if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then his fruit lives in you, his gifts live in you, and the issue is we need to learn how to find the way to that place. So back to the story, I started to have this occurrence. By this time I'm in a church, and this church is televised. And this church, because it was televised, the ushers would seat you. You didn't get to pick where you sat, so it was quite large. So you're always sitting by someone you didn't know. And God would always arrange it for me to be sitting by somebody that had a malady. I would get within about a foot of them, and I'd go, excuse me, do you have diabetes? And they'd go, yes, I do. Can I pray for you? Because I didn't want to interrupt the service. Now, I wasn't operating in a gift of faith. I wasn't even operating. Now, you can get people healed by faith in the Word alone, without a gift, okay? But I didn't know how to do that. 100% of the time, they would get healed because it wasn't me. Here's what I learned. If God gives you something to say, and you say it, it is the same as Him saying it. Think about this. If God says, let there be light, there is. So I'll just give you some examples, because God's trying to help you. Now, this isn't something you're going to walk out and do, but I want to give you some ideas of what the Holy Ghost wants to do, even on the street. We have friends that learned how to do this in the meetings. They're more soul winners. They would go out all night and win souls. I might as well tell that while we're here. These two people, they're soul winners. They love evangelism. They would meet about 11 at night, and they would sit with the Lord and they'd say, give us some information. And every night they would win souls because the Lord would tell them where to go, who to look for, what the person was wearing, and what the story was. So I'll just give you one example. It's about midnight and they're sitting with the Lord, and the Lord shows them a picture of very bright lights up in the air, says the word Harvard, and shows them a guy in a cowboy outfit. They said, well, maybe he's saying go to Harvard, Illinois. So they drive over to Harvard, Illinois. There's only one place in town open. It's a gas station with these big lights up in the air. So they sit in the lot and they wait. And they wait. And they wait. After about an hour, in comes a car full of young Hispanic men. They're pretty drunk. The guy gets out. He's wearing a cowboy hat, a vest, jeans, and boots. She says, that's him. That's the man. They begin to witness to this carload of young men. They lead them to the Lord, and the guy says, wait here, I got to go get my brother. He's addicted to drugs. He goes home. Turns out they're all in a gang. Every one of them gets saved. Isn't that easier than trying to do it in the flesh? See, what they did was they learned the prophetic but applied it to their gift and calling. It applies to every gift and calling. So one day, I was kind of learning this, and I had an older, I'll call him an older brother in the Lord. He's about 15 years older than me. I've known him since I was in my 20s. And he and his wife would minister to people till 1, 2 in the morning with these incredible words of knowledge, and they'd get people free, delivered, healed, you name it. And I watched him do it. I was starting to have some questions, you know, because I was learning this by myself. I didn't go to a class. Hallelujah. So I called him one day, and I was asking some of my questions, and he said a very peculiar thing. He said, I want you to develop that gift. I thought, develop it? To me, I thought it's a gift. It's like a light switch. You have it or you don't. You have it, you don't. What he was saying was, you have it in you, but for you to learn how to operate in it, you need to operate in it and operate in it and operate in it until it becomes normal to you. And so the more you operate in whatever your gifts are, the more normal that will become to you. So at first I was, actually at first it was 100% physical. One lady I was in the choir with, I remember we would be back behind the, you know, in a choir, you're in the back room. It's got a cement floor. This is back in the days when I actually wore a dress. Don't laugh. And this lady, she said, Holly, would you pray for my lungs? I said, sure, you know. So I'm praying for her lungs, and the Lord says, ankles. I'm thinking, oh, really? I'm going to have to get on. I am wearing hose. You want me to get on the cement in my hose? Plus, she didn't say her ankles needed healing. But he just won't go away. Ankles, 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 ankles. Okay, so I get down on my... I said, excuse me, I have to pray for your ankle. I get down on my knees and I pray for her ankles, not knowing, and she never tells me. She calls me that Monday night and she says, oh, my lungs are healed. And I'm thinking, no offense, who cares? What's the deal with your... You know, I mean, I'm glad you got healed, but, you know, I'm a little nervous here. Was I nuts? Was I insane? Did I make that up? And she said, oh, didn't I tell you? I said, no, you didn't. She said, well, what happened? She stands all day at work. She stands for over 8 hours. She said, what happened is my ankles would swell into my shoes, and they would be so big that when I came home, I couldn't even prepare dinner until I laid down with my feet up for 45 minutes, and then I could finally take my shoes off. She said, that's healed. Yeah, that's what we want to hear. See? So as you grow in the what we'll call the prophetic or the relationship with God, God will find ways to confirm back to you, because your biggest, I'm going to tell you right now, the biggest enemy you have isn't the enemy when it comes to this stuff. It's your emotions. Because as you, let's say you're in church, and let's say there's 200 people, I don't know how big your church is. And let's say you suddenly get that feeling you have a word. Now, if you're like most people, you're going to start to get red. You're going to start to shake. You're going to start to go, la, 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 la. Because it's terrifying. Because what if I'm wrong? What if I've picked the wrong timing? What if they don't receive it? What if I look like a fool? All these emotional things are going to rise up. That will happen every time you give a word, every time you prophesy, whether it's one-on-one. So, start. One-on-one. Hallelujah. But also, for me, I didn't want... When I went to God, I went to God and I said... I knew I couldn't live without His voice. And this wasn't to be prophetic. This was, I have to live... I remember, you heard my testimony last time, is I don't make decisions. You have to make them. So you have to tell me. I have to be able to discern your will. So I was sitting at work one day and I said, I need you to train me, listen to these words, train me to hear your voice. I need to know it's you. I need to know it's accurate. Now see, again, it's not a switch. He didn't go, okay, boom, you hear my voice. The actual truth is, we already do. We just don't know we do. Because His voice doesn't come through these ears. It comes inside. It's a still small voice. Where's the Holy Ghost? Where it's kingdom of heaven, it's in you. So when He talks to you, here's what you're going to do at first. Oh, that's just me. Is that the enemy? I think that's the enemy. I don't think that's God. Could that be God? I think that's me. And you're going to start spinning. And what most people do is go, that's too scary, step back. Right? But because I said those words to God, and I was in earnest, I said, train me, and I wasn't trying to prophesy to people. I didn't know anybody. I was trying to learn His voice for me. I need to know it's You. I need to know it's accurate. God took 2 years of my life. I hope I didn't tell this story here. Did I tell the Neiman Marcus story? Mm-hmm. Oh, goody. I love when I get a new group. They haven't heard all my stuff. So I was working at the time. You guys might remember Spiegel when that used to be in existence. I worked at Spiegel Corporate over in Oak Brook. It's a real nice area, and we worked in a corporate headquarters. And the way I learned God's voice is for 2 years, every day at lunch, I'd go sit in the car and say, where do you want to go? Now, God being God, He wouldn't say, go to thus and so place. He'd say, back out, go to stop sign, turn right. The whole time, now listen to me, the whole time I'm going, that's not God. There's no way that's God. That's totally just me, but okay, I'll play along. Literally, that's what my mind is doing. Your mind is going to try to talk you out of the gifts. Every time I would obey Him, in spite of my emotions, something would happen that was so remarkable that there was no way to miss that it was God. And every time I didn't do it, He would find a way to let me know what would have happened if I'd have obeyed Him. And we did this every day for 2 years. So the clincher was, one day, I'm totally convinced it's not God. I'm doing it every day. I should be convinced by now, but I'm not. You know, turn right, turn left. Well, I'm right across from Oak Brook, and if you've ever been to Oak Brook, there's a fancy new wing that didn't used to be there. Well, it's not new anymore, but didn't used to be there. And it has a bunch of nicer stores, and it has a Neiman Marcus. And he's telling me to go in there and park right outside Neiman Marcus, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, this is God. A, I'm on my lunch hour. B, a sweater costs $470. I mean, that's a real price tag. And I don't think that's going to happen. And they don't have a restaurant. So I'm totally convinced this isn't God. But I'll play along. I go in. He says, go down the escalator. Okay, I'll play along. I get down to the basement. He says, you know, go to the basement. Take the escalator down. He says, go in the restaurant. I said, there's no restaurant here. He said, in this tone of voice, ask the lady at the candy counter. Okay, I'll play along. I go to the candy counter, excuse me. I'm so sure I'm right. Is there a restaurant here? Oh, yeah. It's right down there. Well, all righty. Now here's the plan. I've got my Bible, my big old Bible. I'm going to walk in, read the menu, place my order, and then I've got some time to read while they prepare the food. That's my thinking. I have my Bible on the table. The lady comes with the menu. She goes, oh, you're reading the Bible. She has all these questions. We end up having this huge divine encounter, and I'm like, okay, this is God. Every time I obeyed in the face of all my emotions, all of you do hear from God. But the problem is we have not learned how to recognize it, and it has not become normal because we haven't, like my friend said, developed that gift. Now, I will say this. Because I'm interested in accuracy, I listen very closely. To this day, I've been doing this 35 years. I don't care what altar I'm standing at or who I'm praying with. I watch very carefully to make sure, because you don't want to hurt people. And I've seen a breed of people in the church that don't care if they hurt people or not. And that is, for me, that's not okay. It is not okay to just... We actually had a guy, I'm going to say it gracefully, but I had to ask him to leave. Never had to do that. It was tough. And the reason was he came up through the prophetic stuff and he loved, I don't want to be unkind, but I'm just going to say, don't ever do this, please. He started to care what people thought about him looking spiritual. That is not the purpose of spiritual gifts. And he began to prophesy great swelling words of flattery to people. Words he knew they wanted to hear, but carefully designed to be immeasurable, meaning they'll never know if it was true or not. Oh, surely the Lord has called you to the nations. Oh, the Lord says this about you. See, in a great holy voice. And so people would come to me and go, you know, I'm kind of confused. See, because he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. In the Old Testament, they called that prophesying from your own soul, and you got stoned for it. In the New Testament, we don't get stoned. And it is, I want to say this, it's okay to miss it. We all miss it. Everybody can miss it. But what's not okay is to get in a pride thing and not care. You're here to help people. In fact, I will tell you, I believe with all my heart, that the way to go the furthest with God in gifts and power and all the stuff that He has is to cleanse your heart of impure motive. If you get your motives aligned with His, there's nothing He won't let you do. If we're still trying to get people healed because it makes us look like a hotshot, God loves you. He'll always love you, but you'll only go so far. I remember, not proud of this, but I think we all have this in us. I remember the day I was sitting on the back porch, and it was like the Lord pulled a curtain aside and showed me my heart, and it stank. I wanted to be used of God. I wanted to walk in power, but my I wasn't fervently in love with His kingdom and His people. I was looking at me. Pew. And I began to go after God in prayer and say, I need you to change that thing. Get the junk out of there. That's trash and it's got to go. And I don't even have the ability to clean it, but I believe we all have some of that. How are we doing for time?
8:36.
Okay. I believe God showed me this. This isn't what I plan to teach tonight, but I believe this is of eternal value. I believe that before the fall, remember that God made Adam in His image. I believe that's what we were meant to be. Jesus was the last and second Adam, second man, last Adam. He was perfect in every way. I actually believe that in the Garden of Eden, Adam's first thought is what's in it for God. Jesus said, I came to do not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. He didn't care what man thought. He didn't care what the Sanhedrin thought. Didn't care about the Pharisees. He cared what the Father thought. His motive was for the kingdom. He had a purpose to fulfill that had to do with people. And He knew those very people, a lot of them would reject Him and even kill Him. But He was about presenting a people to God. If we can get a hold of that in our heart, there's no limit to how much God will use us. If we can begin to care about the kingdom and what is good for the Father and get the junk out and the self and how did I look? Because remember I said your emotions will fight you? They'll fight you before to keep you from doing it. And after you do it, you'll worry, what did they think? Was it good? Now, you do need to care if it was accurate for the person's sake. But if your emotions, listen, if whether you're called to preach, sing, operate in gifts of the Spirit, before and after, the attack will be emotional. What will they think? What will they say? What if I do it wrong? What if I screw up? What if I look like an idiot? What if I fall down when I'm walking up the stairs? After you do it, boy, you stank. That was the worst. When I first started preaching, that was Satan. I'd be driving home and there'd be this, that was the worst mess I ever heard. Boy, you're a lousy preacher. You bored them to death. You see, we have to overcome the blah, 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 blah. Whatever you're called to do, that stuff is going to be there. But if we can get the junk out of our heart, I was talking about God. He showed me with Adam, let us make man in our image. What is the image of God? There's a scripture that says, in honor, giving preference to the other. You know how we know this about God? The Father said He would make the Son the name above every name. Then he said, I valued my word above my own name. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Each one was always looking out for the other. That's their nature. And what did Jesus say? He said, he who blasphemes me or blasphemes the Father, he'll be forgiven. But he who blasphemes that Holy Ghost, he won't be forgiven in this age or the age to come. What was he talking about? In honor, giving preference to Him. That's the nature of God. I believe that was supposed to be our nature. I believe that was Jesus' first thought, what's in it for the Father? And when I started to pray into that thing, my personality started to change. I'm not there yet. I'm not saying I'm there yet. I don't know if there is a there. But as I started praying, I noticed that my personality started to change. You know what it was before? If somebody invited me to something, my mind would go through the typical, well, is that on a good night for me? Is that going to be fun? Or is that a good thing? Or, well, I don't know, I'm kind of busy. It was always about me. But as I started to pray into this, suddenly it was like, what if there's somebody there that needs help? What if somebody's in trouble? Lord, is there something that You would do there? Is this meeting something you want to do? Whether it's a party, a movie somebody's asked me to. My mind began to think differently. Again, I'm not there yet, but my whole personality began to change. And I really believe that this is the way to find the limit and the power without measure. We all want to be used in power, don't we? We all want to be special. Because you know why some people do? Because they think then that means they have God's stamp of approval. If you understand the gospel, you will understand you were already given his stamp of approval.
Amen.
And you never did deserve it. And you never will. And when you come to understand that in your heart and not your head, you'll behave differently. Oh boy, I didn't know we were going any of these places tonight.
Praise God.
Father has so much more for us. Father, I'm asking for these people that they come into the depth of the Holy of Holies, that become their new normal. And if they've already been a person that goes there, that they'll go there more. That'll become just a place they can go, even if all they have is 10 minutes, that they can just flip the switch and go, because it's in us. It's a relationship that's in us. That they can just, even after everybody else goes to bed at night, Father, they can go sit on the couch, flip the switch, and just enter in, boom. And that's the place where we hear God the best. You don't strive to hear God. You don't hear God when you strive or you're anxious. You hear God when you enter his rest. It's a place on the inside. You can flip a switch and enter his rest. Immediately you're in his presence. And immediately, if you've worked through all your emotional stuff, immediately you'll know what he wants. And that's a normal relationship. It's a healthy one. God has this for all of us. I'm going to be praying for you all and for this church, because I believe that God is, so to speak, taking the lid off. I believe he's inviting us into the Holy of Holies, into that garden place where he can mentor us, each of us. And not just mentor us in gifts, but mentor us in how to love each other. We have been entirely too grabby. And me too, you know. We've been too critical of one another. We've judged one another. We've held each other to standards that sometimes are even harder than God's standards. But God wants to bring us into a place of real unity, like they had in the book of Acts. And it's not something we do in the flesh, can't be done in the flesh. But it can be done if we are all going into that place, when he really becomes first. God's changing some things in the body. And he won't make anybody go higher, but he's offering it to everybody. But I believe there is a remnant that will go higher, and that will begin to operate on a plane that the world has not seen since the days of the apostles. And I believe that will become, for some people, a very normal thing. That we'll see healings in the street. But what does it say? It says the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
That means that the stuff that we barely do in church will become normal outside the church. And I believe the church is where you practice. That's where you learn, am I accurate? Now, I'll just tell you again, I've been doing this for many, many years, but it still takes faith every time I deliver a word. I know his voice pretty well. I know how it feels. I know how it sounds. But you know, if it's a gutsy word, I still have to extend faith to do it. Amen?
Amen?
Father, I pray you bless these, your children. I love them. I know that you love them, and I'm asking that somehow, Father, you meet them, that you encounter them, that you visit their home, and that you teach them and you mentor them yourself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, hallelujah. We love you. You're dismissed. Come and visit the CD table.